Okay, it's a pleasure to be back with you with another GoldSeek.com Radio Gold Nugget segment. Today's featured guest, James Turk from GoldMoney.com. As trust in paper money continues to wane, investors are demanding the return of their gold. But how much is left in major vaults? My next guest says the gold stockpiles at key central banks and the New York Commodities Exchange may be nearly depleted. It's a pleasure to welcome back today's featured guest, James Turk, founder of GoldMoney.com, author of The Coming Collapse of the Dollar and How to Profit from It.
Thanks, Chris. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Let's start off with backwardation. You know, as of last Friday, we saw gold backwardation and silver backwardation. Gold started in May of 2014. It ran all the way to the latest contract, the furthest contract, July of 2018. That was silver backwardation. With gold, we had backwardation beginning in June of 2014, running all the way through 2019. That's one of the first times I ever recall such deep backwardation in both contracts, simultaneously at least. Can you outline why you view this as a positive development?
Yeah, we have to sort of distinguish between silver and gold when it comes to backwardation. And the reason is that there are basically two types of backwardation. There's backwardation that occurs in a commodity because of different grades or shortages in any one given location or transport bottlenecks or things like that. And then there's backwardation that occurs in money. And the backwardation that occurs in money is dependent upon risk and the interest rates at which that money can be borrowed and sold. And, you know, gold is a money backwardation principally, although it does have some commodity elements to it. And silver, as a substitute for gold, in my view, also has a monetary aspect to it, but it's much more heavily influenced by commodity backwardation type issues because there just isn't the same above ground stock of silver as there is in terms of gold. In other words, relatively speaking, the above ground stock of silver is much smaller than the above ground stock of gold. But yeah, you know, let's look at gold first, Chris, because that's really, I think, the more important one. What we are seeing now is basically totally unprecedented. Gold has an interest rate at which it can be borrowed and sold. It's not politically correct since 1971 to call it money or to call it an interest rate. But, you know, gold's been money for 5,000 years, and it's not going to change just because some government or central banks, you know, say it's been demonetized. It still acts like money. It just doesn't circulate as currency unless you're in places like Turkey or Vietnam where, you know, gold still does actively circulate. But basically, you know, gold is money. It has an interest rate. And the key here is it's always the lowest interest rate of any form of money. And the reason why gold always has the lowest interest rate is basically because it does not have two risks inherent in all national currencies. The first risk is that there's the risk of debasement. You know, national currencies can be printed to unlimited quantities, you can't do that with gold. Gold only comes from, you know, the process of mining and pulling that asset out of the ground, which leads to the second risk that you have in currencies that you don't have in gold. Gold is a tangible asset, and it doesn't have counterparty risk. National currencies are based on someone's promise, you know, be it a bank, a central bank, a government, or whatever. And, you know, those promises can be broken. But, you know, a gold coin or a gold bar in your hand, that's a real thing. So you don't have counterparty risk with gold. So gold interest rates are always lower than other currencies' interest rates. And then it becomes just a question of mathematics in calculating forward rates. Because gold always has the lowest interest rate, it's always going to be in contango, meaning futures prices are always going to be higher than in those other currencies. Here we are in a situation, though, that for 28 days, according to the LBMA data recorded on its website, gold is in backwardation against the U.S. dollar. It's unprecedented. I've never seen anything like this before, but the bottom line is it's very bullish.
So you don't follow, then, the New York COMEX exchange?
And I do that for a reason, Chris. It's that in terms of the world of gold, you have to remember that there are two different gold markets. There's the physical gold market, and then there's the paper gold market. And the paper gold market is huge in its own right, but the COMEX is just a small part of the paper gold market. And even though the paper gold market in London is much larger than the COMEX as well. So I really follow the London market because that's really the most significant in terms of how prices are set or discovered or traded, however you want to describe that, in terms of both the physical gold market and the paper gold market.
When we start to talk about gold backwardation, to put it very simply here, apparently gold should be more expensive in the future. You talked about why it has such a low interest rate, and that's because it has very little counterparty risk. And that just makes common sense. I mean, an item or a security which carries lower risk should have a lower interest rate because you're expected to pay a higher interest rate for greater risk and vice versa. Then we come to the current situation where gold actually is less expensive in the future. And tell folks why you think this is significant and what it may portend for the metal, please.
Yeah, first of all, in theory, it can't happen for the reasons we just discussed. It should be arbitraged away. In other words, if you have physical metal today, you can benefit in three ways by selling that physical metal today. And the ways you benefit is you sell it today and you buy a contract 1 or 3 months forward at a cheaper price. So you're selling metal at a higher price and buying it at a cheaper price. Secondly, you're avoiding storage costs for this, let's say, the 3 months while you've sold today and you don't get the metal back until 3 months in the future. You're avoiding the storage costs of holding that metal. And thirdly, by selling today, you get the proceeds of the U.S. dollar that you have for 3 months until you have to pay the dollars to get your metal at some future price. So the fact that gold is not being arbitraged today is very significant. It's giving us an important message. The message is that people would rather own physical gold than take that profit opportunity. What that's essentially saying is that people are exiting paper and moving into physical. Now, the fact that this has lasted as long as it has is really sort of mind-boggling. Like I said, it's 28 days since the 8th of July when it's been reported as backward on the LBMA website. But this, and there's no saying how much longer it's going to go, but what it's basically saying is that gold is too cheap down here at these prices. And, everything comes down to supply and demand, Chris, as we all know. The demand for gold is very, very strong. But the supply of gold only comes from two sources. It comes from new mine production or the existing above-ground stock of gold. So what has to happen in order to bring the physical market back into balance is the price has to rise because the mines can't all of a sudden produce a huge amount of gold. Mining constrains how much they can produce in every year, which is about 1.8% of the total above-ground stock of gold year after year after year. It's just consistent in terms of the way that works out because of the way gold's dispersed in the Earth's crust. So if you can't get a lot of new gold to satisfy supply at current prices from the mining companies, you have to get it from the existing above-ground stock. And the only way to get it from the existing above-ground stock is for the gold price to rise high enough to entice people who own physical metal today to sell it and hold dollars instead. And we have seen backwardation in gold twice before since this bull market began, Chris. Once was back in 1999. It lasted for a few days. The second time was 2008. It lasted for a few days that time as well. Now, those two dates are significant because from the low in 1999, it was marked by backwardation, and we had a huge move up in the gold price. In 2008, the low in the gold price was marked by backwardation, and we had a huge move up. I mean, within 12 months, gold moved from that low in 2008, and within 12 months made a new record high over $1,000 an ounce. Now today we're at a low price in gold, and it's being marked by backwardation. And my expectation is that we're going to repeat what happened in 1999 and in 2008. But because this backwardation has been bigger and deeper and more prolonged, maybe this is even going to be more spectacular over the next 12 months than it was in 1999 or in 2008. Only time will tell because we can't predict the future. But everything is suggesting that gold is way too cheap down here. In fact, the backwardation started when gold was at $1,200 an ounce. Here we're at $1,335, $135 higher, and gold's still in backwardation. It's truly remarkable, Chris. It really is.
I think those are very significant points. 2008 and 1999, a simple glance at a weekly or monthly chart, and they certainly were the two most significant lows in the last 30 years.
Agree. And, you know, a few years from now, when we look back at 2013 and gold prices today, I think you're going to have the same kind of conclusion that this was a significant low.
Well, I certainly hope you're right. And another scenario that I've been throwing around here for a while that also, I think, backs up the bullish thesis with backwardation. Is it possible that the miners are selling forward such a heavy amount due to fear of their supply and future supply that they're actually pushing down the future prices forward a tremendous amount? And could that be a sign of extreme fear and capitulation in the market?
Well, I think that's what's as one of the excuses by the apologists of paper money. But the reality is that arbitration, the arbitrage opportunity exists. Why aren't people selling physical spot metal and buying it back 3 months or forward and taking the profit, avoiding the storage costs, and earning, having the opportunity to hold the proceeds and do something with those dollars for 3 months until they buy their metal in 3 months' time at a cheaper price? As long as that arbitrage opportunity exists, regardless what the apologists for paper monies might say, something is fundamentally wrong, and what's fundamentally wrong is the gold price is too cheap at these levels.
And what do you say about folks who claim this could also be a component of lack of faith or lost faith in the ability for the exchanges to make good on their promises to deliver gold and silver, physical gold and silver and bullion in the future?
You know, the COMEX stocks have been drawn down, and there's a lot more paper than there is COMEX stocks if everybody who owned paper futures contracts wanted to take delivery. But it's very difficult to actually take delivery through the COMEX. They want to keep the stocks there to, give the pretense that it's available for anybody who wants to take delivery of it. Nevertheless, the COMEX stocks have been drawn down. The LBMA, the London Bullion Market Association, is not really an exchange. It's just an association of market makers. The trading over there is done over the counter. It's not in any kind of real, regulated market like the COMEX is. So there, it wouldn't be a market default per se. It would be just a default of one or more banks who fail to deliver on their commitment to deliver metal under, some kind of contract that they have with their various customers. It's hard to say, how this is going to play itself out, other than the fact that they expect the gold price to rise. There may be some defaults, but, regardless, that's not the key issue. The key issue is that the gold price is too cheap down here at these levels, and the interest rate structure of money around the world has to come back to a more normal level, which means that gold has to have the lowest interest rate, and we have to start seeing gold in contango against the U.S. dollar.
Another interesting aspect of this story is the discrepancy or ambiguities that seem to be appearing between the East and the West. And for instance, we look at the Shanghai Gold Exchange, the premiums there that we're seeing over the London price. This has been extreme during the past few months at some points. It's still relatively high, much higher than that $5 to $6 that we typically saw. And Mike Maloney penned an interesting article recently noting that although the Shanghai Exchange may be more than tenfold smaller than the COMEX Exchange, it delivers up to 9 times more gold than any other exchange in the world. And I just think there must be an interesting tie here between the premiums that they're experiencing there and the fact that they actually deliver an enormous amount of gold. Any comment?
Yeah, the fact that there is this huge premium in China particularly, but also elsewhere in Asia, reflects a couple of things. It itself is basically an indication that gold is in backwardation when you see a huge premium like that over other parts of the world. But, this trend has been underway for quite some time where metal is being shipped from the West to the East. It's being shipped from the West, where gold is largely misunderstood or not appreciated, to the East, where it is clearly understood and is recognized that gold is undervalued. And they can't get the gold fast enough at these prices, which is causing these huge premiums over there in Asia. This is something and my colleague at Gold Money, Alistair McLeod, has been writing about for quite some time. And he recently discovered that, you know, there's a possibility that the Bank of England has actually deshoarded 1,300 tons of metal over the past 6 months, which basically indicates that the demand that we saw going into Shanghai and other places, which was being recorded in terms of real physical metal, was coming, you know, out of the Bank of England, was coming out of the West, was coming from central banks who were using their gold reserves for, you know, whatever purpose. Maybe it was Italy selling to raise dollars or euros to help provide some liquidity to Italian banks, or it could have been the Spanish government, you know, who's running the similar type of issue that Italy is running in terms of, you know, bad banking problems. We just don't know. We'll find out, you know, after the fact. But we saw that gold going to Asia, and we'll learn eventually, you know, exactly where that gold came from.
You know, I wanted to ask you a bit about the FOMC meeting and Ben Bernanke's apparent about-face. He certainly scared or frightened investors for some time that they would remove the liquidity punch bowl from the market or exchange floors, and apparently that was, once again, just smoke and mirrors. I mean, I think most of us at the end of the day in this sector realize that if the central banks, including the ECB, Bank of England, Bank of Japan, Bank of China, if they truly did stop with their liquidity spending and stimulus efforts, we would certainly see a huge drop in productivity and a spike in unemployment and probably plunge into perhaps the deepest recession in memory. Do you have any thoughts on the taper talk and how that will affect the markets going forward?
It's basically that talk, you know, tapering. You know, the Fed is still out there buying $80 billion a month of paper. And the reality is that they're going to continue to talk about it, but they're not going to stop because they can't. And the reason why they can't, aside from, you know, the impact on the economy, is the fact that the U.S. government is still running these huge deficits. And who's going to buy all of this paper if the Fed's not there willing to pick it up? So, yeah, they'll talk, you know, up a storm, but, you know, just follow what they do. They're going to continue to, you know, buy that paper. And, you know, follow what the markets are telling us. You know, the gold has been in an uptrend now for several weeks since that low of $1,200 back in, I guess it was June. And, you know, here we are at 1335. Look what silver's done, you know, from 18-something to almost $22 as we speak here today. You know, the markets are giving us a message. The U.S. 10-year note is 2.71%. That's up from, I can't even remember what it was, under 2%, you know, back in May. So even though the Fed's out there buying paper, interest rates are rising. The Fed is losing control. And I think that's part of the reason why you're seeing this huge demand into physical metal and out of paper. You know, people are taking a cautious, prudent step here, converting out of paper, gold, paper, everything, and buying physical metal. And as a consequence, you're seeing this backwardation lasting for an unprecedented period of time in the gold market.
You know, the COT chart, clearly one of the most bullish I've seen in years, and can't help but notice that the institutions seem to have covered most of their short positions and are virtually flat for about 2 months. Although it's not an excellent timing indicator, it's one of those sentiment measures or metrics that I like to look at, and it seems to indicate that, of course, the institutions tend to be correct, and then the small speculators as well, who tend to be incorrect, have tossed in the towel. It seems like the risk for a correction has certainly passed when we see these numbers, and the real risk is missing an explosive recovery rally. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. The COT report, the COT report, is basically showing that, you know, the banks, the institutions, you know, the knowledgeable players in the market are ready for a big move up in the gold market. The weak hands here are the hedge funds who were piling on and piling on in the spring and going into the early summer. And, you know, they're now caught, and that could create an explosive rally. In fact, you know, we've already seen a little bit of it over the past week or so. I mean, look what silver's been doing. I think breaking out of its base. So, you know, who knows what's possible here over the next several weeks.
One of the components is the amazing rally we've seen in copper. There's a huge industrial component to copper, and with China now, a huge GDP boost there, plus import and export explosion. well above expectations. I think one of the big components to the copper and then the silver rally is unexpectedly strong and robust growth in China and in Asia, not to mention around the world. Industrial applications for silver probably helping it to rebound from unbelievably oversold levels. Anything that we haven't covered today?
No, I think we've covered it all. You know, Chris, and, you know, of course, if people are interested in buying some physical metal, goldmoney.com, my company, is always there to help you. You know, not only is the is it economical, you know, to buy physical metal through Gold Money, we also offer storage in different vaults around the world. And the vaults that we're offering in Hong Kong and in Singapore, where we have two different companies offering two different sets of vaults in both of those cities, have become increasingly popular of late.
Very good. Well, thanks again for an excellent discussion and continued success.
Thank you very much, Chris. Look forward to talking to you again in the future.